Two. Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic. We are in our special Halloween mode, and I could not have a better guest today because she knows a lot about the Halloween season. She is a beautiful and talented actress who has starred in only the biggest television series of all time, a little show called Dallas, playing the wife of J.R. Ewing, but she's also done a heck of a lot of television, a lot of movies, and also starred in the cult hit horror film, which just so happens to be the topic of today's show. Please welcome back to the show the wonderful and amazing Miss Kathy Podwell. Kathy, how are you?
Hello, my friend. I'm back.
You are.
I feel like
back in full force.
This girl again?
No.
Yeah, I know. You're sweet. You're very sweet.
It's not about sweet. It's about people loving you, and there's a reason why. Because you, my friend, have made your mark on the world of pop culture. I am telling you straight up.
That's so funny.
Today.
It's such a crazy thing, you know, to hear something like that. Because it's like, what? I'm just a mom. Oh, yeah. I guess I used to act.
You are far from just a mom. And here's why. Because today we are talking about a movie which you starred in called Night of the Demons. Which, by the way, I'm letting you know, is streaming right now on Peacock, and I watched it just two nights ago to keep my memory fresh on this film, and it is so much fun. I mean, this is your time of year, my friend.
Oh, it's crazy. I know. There are the Night of the Demons fans who've been watching every year at this time since they were little, and I cannot believe the new generation that's come to discover this film and embrace it and love it. And it just, it tickles me to no end. And my castmates and I, my director, have just marveled over these last 35 years of, like, we thought this movie would be made, went to theaters, on the Blockbuster shelves. And then I kind of thought that was it. And so, you know, here we are with a new 4K Blu-ray release.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about that. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, it's mind-boggling, really mind-boggling. And it's just, it is a fun little movie, I have to say. It has held up in that way of appreciating something that is so quintessential 80s practical magic horror genre that it was sprung from. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. And I do appreciate that there are people that still watch it, enjoy it. And here we are, another Halloween.
not only that, it's funny you mentioned, because years and years ago, I happened to work at a Blockbuster, and I remember seeing that title stuck on the wall in Velcro, the VHS case, and that movie was a fixture in the horror section. So it is truly part of the lexicon of true 80s horror and beyond.
Oh, and, you know, people talk about how they'd walk in and there was, what's it called, the placard or the, what it's called, this, the pop-up kind of stand, you know, the advertisement. And people talked about how when they were little kids, they'd walk in and they'd see the Angela character, you know, with the invitation, and how truly frightening just seeing that image was. Let alone the film. And it is a little horrifying that I've had people come up to me who are like, you know, I was introduced to this film when I was 8. And I was like, you're what? When you were 8? Like, no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I mean, I still, my adult children, only one has seen it. And she saw it when she was 22. I brought her to a screening of like the 35th anniversary or the 30th anniversary. So anyway, I just like that little kids saw it. I'm like, no, please, people.
Well,
don't let your little children watch this movie.
I'm going to toot your horn because if you see pictures of Kathy, she looks amazing. So you would not know that that film was done in the 80s because you look fantastic, my friend.
You're so, thank you, Brian. I'm just going to say thank you. That's what my mom always says. You get a compliment, just say thank you.
Yeah,
thank
just you. Own it. Don't argue with it. Just own it.
I could argue with you for the next hour, but I'll just say thank you. That's very kind of you.
You are, I would consider you an expert on this genre because you are, you know, embedded in the Halloween season. Which time periods do you feel did horror more effectively? Was it the 70s, 80s, or 90s through 2000? I know which one I'm going with, the 70s and 80s.
I mean, I am because that's our yeah. that's our generation.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember when I was a little girl that my parents went to see The Exorcist and then kind of came back and told me a little bit about it and how terrifying it was. But I didn't see Halloween before I heard about Halloween. And I've told this story before that I was sleeping over at my girlfriend's house and her older sister and her boyfriend went to go see it. And they came back and they literally sat us. I can close my eyes and picture myself and my friend Karen and I sitting on the counter while her sister Jane told, like kind of recreated the movie and our imaginations went crazy and how terrified we were. And then to see that movie. So that really Halloween for me is what kind of started my love of horror, although I'm certainly not very well versed. I mean, there's so much I haven't seen, but yeah, I mean, our generation, I think it was, you know, Friday the 13th and Halloween all the way, you know.
I am applauding you over here because I agree fully, my friend.
Yeah.
Do you remember reading that script for Night of the Demons for the first time and what your initial thoughts were?
If memory serves me, I auditioned and went in for the director and the casting director with just what's called your sides, which are just a few pages of a scene.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all you're given.
Right.
And then for the callback, I still don't think I read the whole script. It wasn't until I was sort of offered the part, I think, that I read the whole script. And, you know, I couldn't see it. The dialogue was a little campy. The characters were very written very, and how it kind of came to be, you know, the jock and the little two-shoe girl and the goth girls. But, you know, reading a script and then,
bringing it to life
and bringing it to life and letting the experts. I mean, Steve Johnson's makeup is off the charts.
Yeah.
Kevin Tenney, who directed it, it wasn't a basic shot for shot. He did the most interesting angles and mood and lighting. And so the two of them elevated, which was, you know, a very campy 80s horror film into that. I think that's because of them more than anybody. That's why it's, you know, remained a cult classic all these years later.
That's a great answer.
The characters, I mean, certainly like some of the actors and their choices are hilarious and spot on. And so that's what makes it fun too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Stooge. And Billy Gallo is Sal.
Yeah, he was great.
Hysterical.
But you know what? Thank you for that real answer. And you always do. You're very genuine because I think it's so good that you read it and you're like, yeah, I don't know. And then there's that turnaround where once you're on set and you're kind of doing your thing and then you see that final cut, you're like, oh, okay, now I'm seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's happened so many times to me where I was like, ugh, this is not fair.
Right.
And to be honest, all, you know, a few things have been sort of like
I love that. I love it. Again, that's a real answer.
There's always something redeeming about most. I mean, I don't think I've ever walked out of, even if I don't like it, I still like want to watch it to the end. There's all, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether I'm in the theater, certainly when I'm in the theater, I'm not going to leave. But even I have a really hard time. I'm like, okay, this is really not very good, you know, a series or whatever. I'm going to watch it to the end. You know, you always kind of, it's great because then you figure out what it is that was good, what makes it bad, but yeah, this little film has held up, and it's so tickling.
Yeah, that's all I can say. It is. It's fun. Yeah, it's right. A fun ride. Yeah. It's got a life of its own. And I mean, to the degree that on October 3rd, as you mentioned, there's a 4K collector's edition that was released with like pins and lobby cards and your commentary on the film. What was that like, going back and revisiting that?
So we did that about 10 years. So that was the 25th then. Okay. Yeah. So that was about 10 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
And I had just recently, within the year or two before that, I had said that I thought it died on the video store shelf, and about 12 years ago, when I've told this story before as well, but the Trader Joe's, I was at Trader Joe's, and my guy that checks me out finally one day, after, you know, sort of looking at me a little weird all the times, said, "You're Kathy Podwell, right?" And I was like, how do you know that? You're too young to have seen anything I've done. And he goes, "No, Night of the Demons." I'm like, "Night of the Demons? What are you talking about?" And so he said, "Yeah, it's a cult classic. My friends and I watch it every year." I'm like, "What?" And so I called Kevin Tenney, the director, and I was like, "Is this true?" And he's like, "Oh yeah." Like, "Oh yeah." We had sort of lost touch. I mean, we kept in touch when our kids were little, and we'd get together, and then as life goes on and your kids get, you know, super busy, you tend to not be able to keep up with everybody. So I kind of lost touch with Kevin, but all of this was happening. And so he said, "Yeah, you can't believe it. It's a real thing. It's a cult classic."
And isn't that something?
25, right. So for the 25th is when we did the commentary, and sitting there, it was the first time. So we watch it and we comment, and it was the first time I'd seen it since it came out in 1987. And so that was crazy. And I was sort of like dumbstruck because there was so much of it that I, you know, you haven't seen it for 25 years. It was an experience just for that. And then the commentary, I guess I didn't have the stories that like Kevin, and so I didn't have a lot to add to the commentary, but the commentary is fascinating. I mean, everything that was said, and certainly Kevin Tenney's memories of certain things are just very interesting. So I highly recommend it. I just don't add a lot to that commentary. but that whole experience of seeing them, those that were there for the commentary for the first time in years and years and years, and then watching the movie after all that time, and then having to like speak about our time, it was crazy. That's the answer to your question. I'm sorry, yeah. That was a roundabout.
No, not at all. You answered that beautifully. Yeah. And okay. I mean, and I have to say, when I put the word out that you're coming, the emails and the questions flood in. So just so you know, piggybacking on your statement about the cult classic, it truly is, because literally I come back the next day, check the emails, and there's all these questions. So just so you know, you're loved.
That's so nice. I love it. That's so, so nice.
And we do have some questions for you. I'm sorry if some you've answered before, but, you know, we'll try to keep it fresh.
Okay, for sure.
Lisa asks, "Did Kathy read for any other roles like Suzanne, or was she always set to play Judy?"
Excellent question, Liza. Always Judy.
Okay, always there you Judy. Go. Yeah, I couldn't see anybody else playing it but you. I mean, you really were the anchor of the film, FYI. So,
I mean,
yeah, you are. So,
shoe part was that was like definitely easy for me. I'm the final girl, but I don't look at myself as the anchor at all. I feel, and I know this is going to sound sort of like self-defeating, but to say the least.
Here she goes. Here comes her humbleness.
Honestly. I mean, so much of Judy to me is so annoying, but, she's the final girl.
Okay. Well, look at that. But go ahead.
Angelo, Suzanne, Stoop, Sal, much more significant and memorable.
But, oh, well, they were all great. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. you are the main character. I mean,
the final girl is a very cool thing to be. So yeah. I'm not saying, you know.
And you didn't have to.
That's not significant, but I'm just saying.
You didn't have to cake yourself in the prosthetics either.
Do you know how lucky? Oh my gosh. I remember, they spent hours getting it on, getting it off. And at the end of the movie with the burn makeup, oh my gosh. And I just was so feeling so grateful and blessed that I didn't have to sit there because it just was just as long to take it off, like I said. So yeah, super blessed. They smudged me up at the very end. You know, that's
you had some soot, you get out of your, Alice in Wonderland thing and you're good.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, you know what? That's another thing with the makeup. It really does hold up, especially after I rewatched it. I mean, for having been done in, I think you said 87, it's really good work. It really is. I mean, that could be on a film 2023 and it would look just as good.
But see, the thing, it's amazing that so much now is
CGI,
computer generated.
I hate CGI. I hate it.
I know. And so that is practical makeup, like the gouging of the eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, all of that. None of that is computer generated.
Right.
That is cherry tomatoes in a prosthetic head. You know what I'm saying?
Amazing.
So it's amazing. So when you watch it with that in mind, that you're watching, you know, and how they stretched out the jaw when the face changed. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. A prosthetic arm kind of leaps out and grabs my ankle.
Yes, I remember that scene.
That reverse, they flipped it. So that was really attached to me, and I kick it off and. I mean, just so watching it with that in mind is for this computer generation, that's pretty damn impressive, I have to say.
It really is. And even the demon in the mirror, I mean, I'm assuming that was some kind of puppet or animatronic because
that might have been. I was just going to say, except the demon, which I think was computer generated. I think that was the only thing. That was computer generated.
I didn't even know they could do that in 87. So I'm impressed they could even had that technology.
Right. Exactly. I think that was cutting edge.
Okay.
For that time. For sure.
I think that was
fire is fire. That was really fire. That was really, you know.
Oh, I know. You were the badass with the blowtorch. So
that was an amazing day. That was crazy.
Actually, this might coincide with one of the questions. I don't know if it will or not, but Rebecca asked, which shot took the most time to set up?
Your listeners have such amazing questions. The Dallas questions were really good. These are fantastic.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody. Yeah,
really amazing questions. That is a really good question. I'm trying to think. But again, you know, I just waited around, and when they were ready, you know, they called me on. So makeup alone, I think probably some of the longest day could have been at the very end of the movie. This is kind of my memory of it, but I probably have to confer with Kevin Tenney on this, but I remember everybody had to be in their makeup all at once, and it was the burn makeup.
Oh, gosh.
So
you're already, you're giving me anxiety because I'm having flashbacks of waiting for hours.
So you have to get 8 actors fully into their demon makeup.
Oh, my gosh.
The added burn.
Oh, God. So you're sitting there for probably 3 hours while they're just getting demonized.
I mean, I don't really remember how long it was, but I can't complain because they, I think it took like 5 to 8 hours few hours off. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't even want to go there because whatever. I was sitting in my chair, you know, somewhere reading or whatever.
You had your magazine or something.
But I remember that day was really, really intense. A lot of makeup artists, you know, that got called in to help with that. So I think that would be my memory, the longest shot. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I just thought of this one, so this wasn't on the list, but did anyone on Dallas ever put the movie on while like you were filming or, you know, like have it on as a wink to you?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm telling you, I don't even think anybody, that's why I thought it just went away. It just went away.
You're like, well, at that time, maybe, you know, films didn't get that cult status. You know what I mean? Like it usually reached it later. So
it was only 2-3 years later.
Right.
So
was
either. Yeah.
Yeah, because you were, I think you were on there 90, right? So it would only have been a couple years after your film.
I started in 88. So okay. Only a year later.
Oh, wow. After, okay. I didn't know it was that fresh. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, when was the movie? I think it was released in 88, actually.
Okay. That I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. We shot in 87, released in 88. I think so. So, yeah. So it was really within months of it coming out that I got Dallas. So,
yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So there, that answers that. Yeah. So Horror Girl asks, well, you kind of answered this, what Kathy's kids thought of the movie and did Kathy ever party in a haunted house? I guess in real life.
That's so funny. No, yeah. I actually never, I don't think I've ever been in, well, I was going to say, I've never been in a haunted house. I've been in a house that I didn't think was haunted, but then people told me later they thought it was haunted.
There you go.
And I didn't have an experience. So there's that. Never, and certainly never partied in one. and so, yeah, my grown-ass children have not, except my middle one who's 20. Like I said, she was 22, 23. When she saw it, so yeah, and she's like 29 now, and my son who's 31 has never seen it, and my daughter who's 21 has never seen it. It just doesn't come, but they're
just like, that's mom's work. That's what they're probably thinking, right?
And a lot of times that happens, I think, with actors' kids. I've heard Jason Bateman talk about his kids have never seen, like his daughter's never seen Ozark, you know. So it's just, I'm like, oh, you know, what am I gonna do? Here's mom. but yeah, they've never, you know, no offense to Night of the Demons because they've never seen any Dallas and they've never seen, the only thing I think all three of my children have seen is a TV movie of the week called Earth Angel that I did.
Yes.
Because it's very kid friendly and it's with Mark Hamill and, Cindy Williams. And yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And that was my nieces, that was like their favorite movie. Aww. So we'd go visit the family and the nieces that were 2 years older than my son would always want to watch the movie when I was there. So my kids, not because I ever put it on for them, but because the cousins did. So, but yeah, that's a common thing. I think that.
No, I think you're right. I think you're not off base. I've heard other actors say the very same thing. Like, oh, they haven't seen any of my work.
Yeah.
I think they'll see it all later, though. I really do. So, FYI. Because I'm telling you, they're missing out if they don't watch your performances, especially like, come on, Callie, you nailed that accent. I say this every time, but you really did. So
thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. I love that. It's so authentic. Wow. You just brought it all back.
Okay, we can jump to Dallas. I'll be all yes. confused. I'm just joking.
I promise.
They're so separate. They're so crazy separate.
They are, and people are going to get mad if I veer off because they want their questions answered. So, Peter, I like this question because I don't know if I asked you this before. I may have, but Peter asked if any of your scenes were cut involving Judy.
Dang,
it's probably hard to remember, right?
Questions. No, let me think. Nothing comes to mind.
Okay.
Peter, good question. Nothing comes to mind. Well, kind of, the only thing I could say that sort of is equivalent to what you're asking is in the original script, and this goes back to your question of when I read it, what I thought.
Yeah.
Judy takes off her bra. So there's a topless scene.
Right.
And I didn't want to do it.
Gotcha. Understandably. I get it.
The director, and he made a compromise that I just keep my bra on, but I have to be in a bra. So that changed. It wasn't cut, but the nude scene was cut.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of other,
yes,
plenty of nudity in that movie. So
that's 80s horror.
What?
I said that's 80s horror right there. I get it.
Of course. I mean, come on. And I knew that. I'd seen my fair share of my 80s horror to that point. And so I'm forever grateful to Kevin Tenney that he wanted to keep me and was willing to make this compromise, and that the producers were willing to make that compromise too.
Yeah, well, it took nothing away from the film, and I respect you for standing up for yourself and saying, you know what, no, not this part. I'll do everything else, not this.
I get it. Like, no, I don't want to. I'm going to have kids someday that are going to be in their 30s and not have seen it. So, no. So that was like the only thing that I know from the original script that changed for me, but I can't think of a scene that was actually cut.
Okay, that's good.
I can think of a scene that was added sort of at the last minute, which is why I think my performance in this particular scene is so, I can't watch it. I cringe every time I watch it because the acting is so bad. And again, I don't mean to come down on myself, but they added this scene in the crematorium at the very last minute. So it didn't have the lines memorized, and it didn't really make sense to me, which is obvious when you watch the movie. And as I'm trying to explain, Judy's trying to explain to Roger about the demons and how they come to be. And anyway, I just, in my defense, they wrote that last minute and added it. So, that was an addition, but no scene that I could think of that was actually fully cut.
Well, there we go. So. Well, that answers the question then. And by the way, to show some solidarity with you, I did a show, I forget how long ago it was, and they wanted me to take my shirt off. And I said, well, I'm not doing that. I wasn't comfortable doing that myself. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
I mean, I wish I could be that person. I do. The human body's beautiful. I'm not, uptight that way, but I just was sort of shy and
I get it.
Couldn't do it.
So, I get it. I respect it to the moon. I respect your choice. I really do. You're welcome. Kyle asks, I think you answered this question. Did Kathy see it in the theater? Like when it was out?
Yes, I saw, I think we had a cast and crew screening, maybe not, but I remember my now husband who was my boyfriend at the time, we went to go see it in the theater. So we went in the back and we just watched it from the back of a theater that is, I don't know if it's still there. It's in Westwood. Anyway, so I did. And then 25 years later, I saw it for the commentary.
Look at that. It's so exciting. It really is when it has, you know, when you just said that, it was like, wow, 25 years later, and it's like, boom, it's still in the theater. Aaron asks, were they actual night shoots or was it just a darkened set?
It was night shoots. Good question, Aaron.
So you were an insomniac.
We shot for a month at night. There were, you know, obviously there's a couple of day scenes, but, we shot. I get home at, I don't remember, like 5 a.m. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I want to add some context for those who are not in the acting world. When they say night shoots, you're shooting all night. So if you get there at 6, sometimes you're leaving at 6 a.m. You know, it's like, it's not easy, and it will take its toll on you sometimes mentally and physically when it defies the normal sleep pattern, like the month you had during that.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is. There are moments where, yeah, it's like the worst jet lag, and you're like, I just want to go lay down on that dirty old floor and just take a nap, you know?
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. It's a really weird thing.
Now, were you, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think I, towards the end, kind of start to get used to it, like anything, you know? But yeah, there were nights at the beginning that it was just, oof.
Yeah. Well, now where, I think you answered this before, but where were all the actors held up during that filming? Were you near, like, where you were staying? Was it near set or was that?
Yes. So we shot in an old abandoned house in sort of like kind of by USC, South Central-ish area. This house was going to be torn down. And so they rented it out for a fairly good price, I think, knowing that it was going to be torn down. It's now currently a grocery store called Ralph's. So Hull House, unfortunately, does not exist anymore, which is a big bummer. Aww. But it was on this, like, you know, big, huge kind of lot. So we would drive in, and we'd park there, and we'd film at the house. We'd film outside of the house. We'd film on the roof. We filmed everywhere around the house. And our dressing rooms, I think it was like a 3-story house, and our dressing rooms were on the second floor. And I don't think any of us stayed in our dressing rooms. It was dark and creepy, and nobody wanted to be by themselves in a room in this house. So we all sat in our director's chairs, and I think there's plenty of pictures out there of all of us in our director's chairs, because that's where we hung out in between waiting for the next, you know, take and shot and scene to get set up. So, so that was, you know, usually on a set you'll have like little, they're called honey wagons, and they'll be like, you know, little portable rooms, basically. But this was a low-budget horror film, so it was in the house. And but it was great, and I'm so glad that we didn't hang out in our rooms, because we all hung out together and got to know each other, and we really did become this family. So when we get together, and through the last 10 years, we've been able to get together off and on, different actors at different times, you know.
Right.
But anyway, it's been great, and we feel like super connected, and it's because there's, you know, a sense of family there that will always be, and we went through this experience together. And I always say it's like, you know, we're putting on a show. We were like the Little Rascal kids, you know. We're making this horror film, you know. We were all sort of new. Linnea Quigley was the only one that was really, she was already a Scream Queen. But the rest of us were like, this is our first film, or we've done a little bit here or there.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
And great to hear that you all got along. That's really great.
Yeah, we did.
Because, you know, that's not always the case on sets. So that's very good to hear.
I know. I've been very, very blessed that way, that I've somehow been able to work with like amazing I've never really had. I mean, I can't think of a true, like, diva problem.
You know why? Yeah. You know why you're so going to fight me on this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because you are impossible to dislike. So that's why.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Good. Own it.
Thank you.
How could anybody not be around you and not smile? That's just the way you are.
It's not even me. There's just people that can be divas in their own right, not even interacting with a fellow actor. They could just be a diva, you know, and be difficult for the director or anything. I've not had that experience, and I'm really lucky.
Well, so. Nobody would give you attitude, even if they were arrogant. You're too kind, and your energy is too positive. I'm letting you know that's the way it is.
Thank you, Brian.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Brian.
It's all true, and everyone listening to this knows it's true. So there we go. Just own it.
Can you feel my blushing through
yes,
the phone?
Yes, and I love that.
I actually feel like I'm blushing.
Good.
Here sitting alone in my room.
I can't see her, but I can tell that the red looks good on her. Mickey asks, I love that name, does Kathy do meet and greets?
Mickey? I have in the past done a few meet and greets. I haven't since 2019, and then obviously COVID, and I haven't been able to go to the last few conventions that some of my fellow castmates have been to, but just because life and certain you know, situations and my kids and my mom or whatever, I just haven't been able to go. So hopefully soon something will align and work out and I'll be back at one.
Yes, because she's in demand, just so everybody knows. Zombie Lover asks, what other horror franchise Kathy would like to be a part of? And it can be past tense if it was like, you know, a Nightmare on Elm Street or, you know, whatever. Is any of those series?
Funny that you just mentioned Nightmare on Elm Street. I was going through some of my mom's like papers and notes and things. Mm-hmm. And I noticed she had taken notes, like if we had conversations. And I should have had it out. But anyway, one note, and I can't remember what the year was. But she said, oh, Kathy had a callback for Nightmare on Elm Street. I can't remember if it was like 2 or 3.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I have no memory of that.
Wow.
So I don't remember that. But I think I auditioned for Leprechaun, which I think Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, that sounds right. She did.
And I think that was the movie. And I can picture the building where the audition was. So I probably should figure out if that was, you know, that'd be interesting to see if that was what it was for. But I feel like my memory serves me. That's what it was for. And otherwise, I did not at the time have any other, you know, people always ask, oh, you know, you sort of get like pigeonholed into the horror genre. But I kind of, like we just said, I sort of went right into Dallas and then spent 3 years on Dallas. So, So, I mean, to be in a, like a Halloween or something like that, or I remember watching Friday the 13th and like thinking, you know, oh, how that just looked fun. And yeah. I thought about all the actors, you know, they were my age or whatever, and how much fun they would have had doing that, you know? But yeah, I mean, actors just want to work. So
yeah,
I would have taken anything pretty much. You know?
That's a solid answer right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I love the realness. That's I would say the same thing.
Yeah, actors can't be choosy, really.
If there's some work and a check involved, that can be a good thing.
I mean, some actors can obviously be choosy, you know, Matt Damon's and the Meryl Streep's fine, but you know, yeah, your average working actor just wants to work. Thank you very much.
We just want to work. I totally, totally feel you, buddy. Elm Street Girl. That's funny that we were just talking about Elm Street asks what, what Kathy thinks of the, I guess, you know, Demon Light sequels that they've done. And have you ever been approached about playing a character in a reboot of the franchise?
Excellent question. Nightmare on Elm Street girl. I have not seen, and I'm glad that I haven't seen any of the sequels.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say anything negative, because I've heard some negative things.
Right.
I've also heard they're okay, or this one's better than that one. And that the big Hollywood remake with Shannon Elizabeth and I forgot his name. I'm blanking. Anyway, I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't either. I've only seen yours.
No.
If you're not in it, I don't want to see it. That's my stance on it.
Well, I think for Night of the Demons fans, they're probably super worthwhile. I just haven't had the opportunity. I think if it popped on, I'd be so interested in watching. I just haven't sought it out. So, but yeah, I mean, every person that obviously says something to me goes, oh, but the original's the best, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, and then what was the other part of that?
Let's see. Have you ever been approached about playing a character in a reboot of it?
Okay. Kind of. Okay. Yeah. There's been, there wasn't a serious offer attached, but would I be interested? And here's my idea. Two people have pitched me ideas, and I told both people that I think they both sounded fantastic and interesting. One in particular, I can't talk about.
NDAs and all that. We get it.
But super interesting. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I would love it. I would love to play Judy now.
Yeah.
To see, Alvin Alexis Rogers, Alvin who played Roger, to see Roger and Judy today and what happened to them psychologically could be really interesting.
I also think that with the symbiosis of these Evil Dead films, they complement each other so well that Judy could make her way into that franchise, which is currently still filming. So I'm just letting any producers know in the horror community that I think you need to bring Kathy Podwell into the Evil Dead universe. Let's just put that out there.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
I think that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Exclamation point on that.
Manifest that. Like, just put it out in the world. That sounds great.
We are.
That sounds great.
Because it would fit perfectly.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love that.
Let's see. My gosh, we have like 8 minutes. I can't believe time always flies when you're on, and I still have this list of questions. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm letting you know I'm going to have to streamline. We're just going to have to bring Kathy back, oh shucks, and do another episode so she can answer even more. So we'll ask like a couple more, and then Kathy's got things to do. So we got to, you know, but she loves you all.
I do.
Go ahead.
How we always think an hour is going to be enough, and I was like, "Oh gosh, how are we going to fill an hour?"
No, honestly, there's like literally, like I'm flipping through pages. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, there's more questions here." Let's see. Kara asks, "What your least favorite part about filming Night of the Demons was?" And she'll give you a real answer. I know she will. Yeah, so whatever.
I will. Honestly. I'm trying to really think about
it. You can ponder that. I mean,
I don't think I had a least favorite part.
Look at that.
That sounds so. Yeah.
No, that's
really.
I know if you're saying it, it's real.
I mean, honestly, the people involved. Yeah. I mean, the night shoots, you know, like I said at the beginning, wow. But I was so happy to be working and to be a lead in a movie. Like, are you kidding me? What could I complain about? So yeah, no complaints.
Love
I'm going to go with that.
You know what? Again, it's a real answer. Val asks, did Kathy have a stunt double on set, and how did they film your fall from the roof?
These questions are so good. I did have a stunt double. I did not want to have a stunt double. And if you watch the movie,
I can tell
the reason I did not. I was like, please let me do this. I wanted to do it. First of all, I did get to go on the crane that falls, but I'm on a crane falling.
Right.
That was me. Great. It had to be me because it was on my face as I'm falling. But I wanted to hang from the roof. Now I get to hang a little bit from the roof.
Why am I not surprised? You're like a bit of a daredevil, Miss Roller Skates and Break Dances.
Harness. There's nothing. Nothing's going to happen. And honestly, the shot of Judy hanging from the roof, from the ground up, it's clearly somebody in a wig. And it, like, seeing it again all those years later, I was like, oh.
I can tell this bothers you.
It does bother me. It really does. You know, with production companies, I mean, big production companies don't, you know.
Right.
I mean,
insurance. And, yeah.
But you, insurance and all of that. But I was like, I'm a thick girl. I mean, I'm strong. I'm not, you know, I'm not uncoordinated. I could totally have handled all of it. So I was definitely disappointed, but I understood they have the legalities. But yeah, sure. Wish I could have done all of it.
I believe every word you just said. And eventually when they do some kind of a reboot, we need to get you on roller skates or rollerblades and have Judy break dance during like the middle of the scene. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. That might be a Judy-esque kind of thing. I don't know who she is right now.
We're going to make it a Judy-esque type of thing because it needs to happen. I want to see your dancing skills on screen.
Okay. All right. All you writers out there, get writing.
There we go. You heard it here. So get to work on that. Let's see. We are going to, this is going to be, you know what? Again, I promise I'm going to beg Kathy to come back and we will get all of these questions answered. So I will just end with this one, which is from Luke. What is Kathy's favorite Halloween tradition?
Well, Luke, as I was sort of telling Brian right before we started recording, I dress up pretty much every year. There was a couple of years I dress up as a clown, but pretty much every year I dress up as a witch in green face, full black hat, black outfit, everything. And I give out candy dressed like that, but I also read to four elementary school classes every week for a couple of hours every Wednesday. Amazing. And so if Halloween lands on a Wednesday, lucky me. And if it doesn't, I always, the week before. So next week for my reading on Wednesday, I'll be dressing up as a witch. I tell the kids that my cousin Hilda's coming to read to them next week. And I show up in my full witch costume and I read some of my favorite Halloween or witch books. Some of the kids, it depends on the age. Some of the kids are fooled. Some of the kids are like looking at me like they're terrified and I have to assure them that I'm a nice witch. And, you know, some of them go, "You're Miss Kathy, right? 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 You're Miss Kathy." And then I kind of have to go, "Yeah, you know," just to them, like, "Yeah, don't worry, it's okay." But I try to keep the illusion alive for everybody. So that's my favorite tradition.
Well, you're not getting away that easy. I want to hear that witch voice again. You got to do some of that.
I do my like best Wicked Witch of the West laugh. You know, I totally steal from all the best witches. Yes, my dearie. Yeah, whatever.
I love this.
Yeah, I read a book called Piggy Pie, and it's about a witch who's Gritch the witch, and she's looking to make piggy pie, and it's very funny. So that's when I get to do full on witch voice. But yeah, it's really fun. Really fun.
Fun is the word, because every time you're on, we have so much fun. And of course, you know, I ask you this every time, but will you please come back so we can have even more questions answered and I can have fun?
Of course. Of course. You know I will. I love talking to you, Brian. And I love, honestly, such great questions from everyone. And I really appreciate the thought that went into all of those. And just all of you, Night of the Demon lovers, I'm just so beyond grateful.
Well, I have to tell you, I started off being just a fan of your work and loving what you do. And then I end up just loving the individual and the person. And you are just such a good, kind, generous soul. And I really love you. You've become such a dear friend. And it's always a pleasure to have you.
It's exactly how I feel about you too, Brian, honestly. And it's my pleasure. And we will talk again.
Yes.
I'm sure very soon.
We will. And where can people find you? We're going to end with where can people find Kathy Podwell if they want to get and, you know, see all your latest and your news and stuff like that?
I'm not the best. Yeah. I'm certainly not this social media like queen. I do have an Instagram that I pretty much kind of like post stuff about people I've worked with or, you know, behind the scenes stuff. It's kind of fun. So that's just at Kathy Podwell on Instagram. And then this dear, sweet man, my friend Alan Catan, asked if he could start a fan page on Facebook. And he and I said, okay, that's fine. But just, you know, you're not going to get that many people. And he has grown that page to like 13,000 people.
Yep.
So, that to me is the most amazing thing. And he posts all kinds of Dallas stuff and information and some Night of the Demon stuff.
Oh, yes.
But that's pretty much it for me on social media.
Well, there's nothing wrong. I don't even have a website, so I'm with you. I get you.
Yeah. There's not much to self promote about right now. That's current, but, It is here and there. It's kind of fun stuff for people to look at, like behind the scenes Night of the Demon shots. I've got a bunch of those on my Instagram. So go check it out.
Go check it out, everyone. Go check it out. And I'm just going to ask you to hold for 1 second. But I want to wish everyone for Kathy a very happy Halloween season. I know she agrees. And yes, see, you got it right there. And we can't wait to have her back. But in the meantime, for Footsteps in the Attic, this is Brian Hobson for the beautiful Miss Kathy Podwell. We'll see you next week.